Good morning. Well, here we are, getting ready to start a new book. And I know that those that watched Friday heard me say John, and so I didn't lose my mind. But I realized that I did John this time almost last year in January and February. And so if you're interested in John, I highly suggest you either go to our YouTube page or to our web page. And you will find my study on John, and feel free to watch the whole series. It's all there. Took me like 8 weeks. It was like 41 episodes. So, in keeping with my thought on doing a gospel, I thought about Luke, since we're getting close to Christmas, and Luke is the one gospel that talks a lot about the birth of Jesus, our Savior. I know I said the beloved physician, so I use that term because that's one that Paul used to name this one. But of course, the book of Luke is all about Jesus Christ, and we're going to learn a lot about our Lord and Savior. So let's start with prayer. Thank you, Lord, so much for all that you do, Lord. And you are our beloved, Lord, and couldn't do it without you. And be with us and give us strength, and that we can learn more about you as we proceed through this study of Luke and your gospel about you as the man, the Son of God, and your human flesh. And we look forward to learning more and more each time we study your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And so this one's going to be, it's only got four verses down there, and there's actually a lot more verses than that, but they're all over the Bible. So actually, I'm calling this an introduction because we're going to talk a little bit about Luke as a person first, and then about how he came into play and how we interacted. Some of the things about Luke that are different. He was not one of the apostles. He was the only Gentile that wrote a gospel. And actually, I think he's the only Gentile that actually wrote any book in the Bible. Trying to think if there's any others. Probably the closest would be there's one chapter in Daniel that was studying that was written by Nebuchadnezzar. Someone I can think of off the top of my head. So he has a unique place in history. And so let me get some verses up here and we'll get to seeing a little bit more about Luke. And I will just bring over my regular style. So we can see it nice and big. Haven't got any pictures yet. I'm sure that as I'm going through this, there'll be some pictures I include of some sort. Luke is a fairly long book, so I won't try to break it down into sections at this point. Maybe at some point I'll talk a little bit about it. But today I'm just going to kind of do who is this man Luke? And he was known as the beloved physician. That was a title that John gave him. And here in Colossians 4:14, and here Luke, Paul is speaking. He's writing the book of Colossians, and he says, "Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you." And so that's where we got the title today's. Is actually Paul's address for him. Paul and Luke were contemporaries. They traveled a lot together. And if you were in my study of Paul's travels, we saw a lot of Luke. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. It seems like it looks almost like Luke and Paul might have met in somewhere around Antioch, Syria. We know that Paul was in that general area. There's one other place too that they might have met that I'll mention. Let's see. The book was written, was penned about 58 to 63 AD, just prior to the 70 AD period of time where the Jerusalem was destroyed. Luke has two different books he wrote. He wrote Luke, which is this one we're going to study, and he wrote Acts. We think Acts was written in relationship to, and possibly Luke too. Sorry about that. In relationship to a assignment, if you remember, if you studied it, Paul at all, when he got arrested in Jerusalem and was getting ready to be sent to Rome, it was very common that the people in Jerusalem would have had to have written like a biography of what the ch of kind of like a history of Paul, and so that a lot of Acts is written about Paul, so that. That could have been how Luke became saved, and that he wrote the Gospel of Luke just to make it complete as a complete biography of the period of time of Jesus Christ, birth, death, and he was a believer. He was not, he was a Gentile, but he was a Gentile believer, as you'll see definitely as we go through the book. But he wrote Luke first and then Acts. And probably in a very close time frame, somewhere between 58 and 63 AD. I think Acts was written more like around 63 AD. He came from Syria, Antioch, never married, and he died at 84 according to tradition. As you see here, he was called the beloved physician. And Luke was a doctor. He was a doctor of that time frame, and believe it or not, scientists and stuff have done studies of this book, and that Luke actually uses more medical terms in this book and in Acts than even Hippocrates, the father of medicine, does in a lot of his teachings. So he was well-versed. It could have been why God called on him to do this book. Well-versed in Greek, very intelligent. And it's probably why him and Paul got along, because Paul was considered to be very intelligent, too, in Greek. And actually, doctors in this particular period of time were probably more scientists than anything, because actually a lot of the treatments that we know of today really weren't discovered yet, but that they were studying a lot about the human body and during that time frame. So there was a... they had a lot of knowledge of the body, but not necessarily great treatment plans. So a lot of people would think that he was more like a scientist, gaining knowledge about the human physiology rather than necessarily how to treat certain ailments. He was well-versed in Greek and grammar and a historian. Sir William Ramsay's famous author once said of Luke, as being a careful historian and remarkable of remarkable ability, as he was well versed in Greek. Interesting enough, the first two chapters we'll be getting into of Luke are heavily written by from the point of view of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And that's why we know almost certainly that Mary and Luke got together and actually wrote a good portion of Luke, at least the first couple of chapters together. So at some point, Mary must have come in contact with Luke. And I have an idea where that might have happened. But there was a lot of information about Jesus' birth and his early years and that whole time frame. And that's what we'll be studying the first two chapters of Luke, and it's only in these two gospel. So it wasn't something that Jesus actually shared a lot of during his ministry. And Luke was a great historian, so he was able to collect a lot of information from all different sources. And we'll see some notice in his first few verses of Luke how we can pick out that that was his aim. There was, besides Sir William Ramsay's, there was another historian of that time frame called J.M. Stifler, that affirmed without reservation that Luke was a Gentile. So it confirms what we already suspected, that he was a Gentile. Some other references in the Bible to Luke, just to confirm that he definitely was a person, and that most of them are having to do with Paul. But the references are in Colossians 4:11 through 14. I'll just look through a few of these. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring frequently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and that they are in Laodicea, and they are in Hierapolis. And Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. We already saw that verse. And then over in 2 Timothy 4:11, see, you can see that it's mostly Paul that was a contemporary of Luke. 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul is talking here to Timothy and letting him know that only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for me for the ministry. This is towards the end, so that we know that Luke was with, most likely was in Rome with Paul at this time frame, but this 2 Timothy was written from Rome when he was expecting to be beheaded at any time. And then over in Philemon, verse 24, and it also mentions them there, except it says Lucas, Marcus, Archias, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. He's mentioned there also. And then in Acts, there's quite a few references in Acts. When he was writing Acts, that's how we can kind of tell about the time that him and Paul met. Because he uses the word we a lot, like it's him and that Luke was using himself, including himself as being there also. And I thought I'd just show you a few of these. In Acts 16, 9 through 17. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And this is one of the instances where some commentaries kind of want to say that this could have been how Paul and Luke met, and it was actually directed by God. And you see here a vision. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. So God put this vision in Paul's head. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Assuredly gathering, the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Tros, we, and so now Paul and him together, came with straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis. So some believe this is when Paul, and it could have been the vision that, he doesn't really say it for sure anywhere, but this vision could have been Paul, could have been Luke himself, and that Paul was being called over to Luke, and that's how they met. I have one other theory, though. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we, there it is again, were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by the riverside, where prayer was what wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resort thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worship God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of by Paul, of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she brought us, that was another term, saying, if we have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there, and she constrained us. It came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of deviation met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. That same followed Paul and us, and there it is again, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. You can see there's a lot of different terms that Luke used in Acts to indicate that it was him and Paul together. Also jumping over to chapter 20, verse 6. And we, there it is again, sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. Jumping down to chapter 21, verse 17. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us and to James, and all the elders were present. Now, I want to point to that one only because the elders in this case would be all the apostles that were in Jerusalem. And this could have also been a time frame that Luke met John and also possibly Mary, because if you remember correctly, I'm going to show you the verse here, that on the cross, Jesus had told John to take care of his mother. And that, so there's a good chance that wherever you see John, that Mary was nearby. And this could have been a time frame that Luke got to meet Mary for the first time also. I think that's a good possibility there also. Then over in Acts 27:1, and when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. Again, this appears to be that Paul has been given free rein to kind of move around as he pleases. And I'll kind of indicate here why I believe that. That he was never a prisoner, but he was allowed to go where Paul went because of his assignment. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier and kept him. So here you can see that Paul was kept as a prisoner, but here we it says, and when we came to Rome, I didn't say anything about Luke being a prisoner. And you'll see why here in a minute. As I mentioned over that Acts 21:17 and 18, that was a perfect opportunity that Luke was able to meet all of the apostles. And that might be where they got where he got a lot of his information. He'll kind of hint at that a little bit here in a minute. I'll show you. Okay, Luke presented Jesus. The book of Luke is presented to us as one of the Gospels. And it's the what we call the human side of Jesus, or Jesus as a man, a perfect man. And I see this as a representation of two visions that were seen many years apart. One we just finished studying in Ezekiel, over in Ezekiel 1:10. And if you remember this, if you were with me for Ezekiel, as for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and the four had the face of an ox on the left side. The four also had the face of an eagle. And this is Ezekiel describing a vision he had of these living creatures that were at the throne of God. And these four creatures are mentioned to a couple of different places. And most commentaries I read on it, and I agree with it because it makes a lot of sense, that these four creatures stand for the four Gospels. In relationship, Matthew, being all about the Jewishness of Jesus, talks about him as the lion of the tribe of Judah. Mark, the book of Mark, Mark was a servant, and most likely he was the penman for Peter. Marcus represents Jesus as the suffering servant, and it represents the animal represented by an ox, or somebody who works, somebody who is serving others. Then, of course, Luke is representing him as a man, and that's what we're going to see as we go through Luke. And John is the eagle, showing the eagle as his deity. Some other interesting notes about Luke. Based on this gospel, a gynecologist, Dr. Howard Kelly, a fairly modern gynecologist of John Hopkins University, confirms a virgin birth that was depicted by the terminology that Luke used during that part of the gospel. Just a few statistics about the book. In Luke, we find 20 miracles, six of which are only in Luke. And there's 23 parables. 18 of them are only in Luke. So it's a pretty thorough report of Jesus Christ and the apostles after, and we include Acts. Oh, and that other place that I mentioned about the four animals is over in Revelation 4:7. And if you're in my Revelation study, then we talked about this also. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. Calf and ox are pretty synonymous. They're a working class animal, servant. The third beast had the face as a man, that'd be Luke. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. So that you can see the that this particular symbology goes all the way through the Bible. Okay, so back over to Luke 1:1. And here we'll talk a little bit. We're going to take the first four verses today. And kind of like break them down a little bit. For as much as many have taken in hand, set forth in order, a declaration of these things, which are most surely believed among us. Okay, Luke is saying here that for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth, in other words, he is gathering the information, he's going to be setting it forth in order declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. So he's talking about us as being, I believe, as a Christians, and what we have seen and believed and what we believe. So it's a thorough study of what we believe. Okay, verse 2. That's a really important verse, because I'm going to break down one of these words here, two of these words, into the Hebrew. Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. So he says here, even as they delivered them unto us. Okay, the us here could be him and Paul. So that's a fairly decent, because Paul wrote a lot about the goings on of the early church, which was, of course, all the letters. The important words here, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Okay, eyewitnesses. That's the translation, but in the Greek it's called autopetei. Okay, and that word auto, meaning that which is of itself, is what the meaning of auto is in Greek. And opsomei is a medical term for the eye, or to see. And basically in the Greek, it represents to see for yourself. So that's what eyewitness breaks down into. So in other words, that the information he is getting is from eyewitnesses, is basically what he's saying. And in a medical term, that this particular way of saying it in the Greek is sort of like an autopsy. An autopsy is when you analyze something. You actually physically look at something to see if it to gain information about it. And you know, the classic term of an autopsy is when they're trying to investigate why somebody died. So they actually look at the person's body to try to discover that. Well, the same idea behind these Greek words is that Luke is going to be gathering information from the eyewitnesses of this event. So basically this term, from a point of view of Luke, is trying to say is we are eyewitnesses who made an autopsy, and I am writing to you about what we found. So that's basically what he is saying here. So he did a thorough investigation. He talked to eyewitnesses, maybe like a detective, really. But he did it right at the beginning of Luke. So that's why some people believe this is like a report, like this is going to be passed on to some authorities. And we'll get into that in a minute. The second important word Dr. Luke uses is ministers, and that word ministers of the word, but particularly the word minister, which is Greek hupaterei, meaning an under rower on a boat. I said under rower on a boat. And in a hospital, this term would be used for an under rower as an intern or somebody who is working under somebody else. So basically, Dr. Luke is saying that all of them were just interns under the great physician. So that he's basically saying here that we are just interns studying under the Lord, who many of us use this term to say that he is the great physician, and that would be Jesus Christ. And so what he's basically saying is that as a physician and a scholar, he made an autopsy of the records of those who had been eyewitnesses. So he's basically like saying, I'm confirming that the information that I've received was only achieved from reliable sources like eyewitnesses. And going back to when Luke possibly might have been in Macedonia, based on Acts 16:6, I just run through these again real quick. 16:6 through 10, the use of us by Luke here is first noted that was during Paul's second journey, which that would have been about 50 to 52 AD. And this, I brought this in here only mainly to say that this could have been when they met John and Mary, because about this time frame, and I'm going to go through some other verses here. Let's finish up one other area first, talking about the eyewitnesses. Some of these eyewitnesses, most likely interviewed by Luke, would be Mary, based on the birth account, and that Mary was cared for by John. And so, coming down to some reason, I lost some verses in here. Give me a quick second here, I gotta add some verses in here. I just wanted to point out that John, the Apostle John, was given the task of taking care of Mary, and we see that over in John 19, 26 and 27. This is Jesus on the cross, and when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, John always referenced himself that way, as the whom he loved, because that was told to him once. He said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. By the way, some people don't like that term mother, the way he says it. Believe it or not, in this particular time frame, that was like saying ma'am. It was like saying it was a very respectful way to address a woman, particularly somebody senior to you. Verse 27. Then said he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. So from that point on, at the cross, this would be right around 30 to 32 AD, that Jesus, that John was now in charge of taking care of his mother as a son. So I wanted to point to that. So this would have been during the period of time of like 32 AD. And during this period of time, too, the persecution really started up in earnest after Jesus died to try to spell this whole idea of Christianity. And so there was a lot of Jews that actually left Jerusalem, particularly during this time frame, because of a man by the name of Saul, rather interestingly. And Saul was doing this during that period of time. And we know this based on a thing that happened in Acts 7:51, where the stoning of Stephen, and this is when this was before Saul was converted to and became a believer himself and became Paul. By the way, Saul and Paul were both his names. One was a Hebrew name and one was a Greek name. That's what the difference was. I think Saul was a Hebrew name. but I'm not positive on that. But I know they were both his name. It wasn't like they changed it or anything. So over in Acts 7:51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do. This is Stephen talking to the elders and the people in the synagogue. You do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did. So do ye. He's basically yelling at them for not listening to the fact that Jesus Christ came, and Stephen is trying to convince them of the new dispensation that you know your Messiah was here and you killed him. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. We have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being fully of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly in heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And said, behold, I see the heaven open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not these sins in their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Remember, they use sleep in these, particularly in Acts, it's referencing death. So that was the beginning of the real heavy persecution by Saul. And he started to really persecute the Jews at this point. And that was right about 37 AD. So that I can see that that's when Mary and John may have made the decision at that point to head towards Ephesus. A lot of John's ministry was in and around the Ephesus area. And it could have been another place that John and Luke, or Mary met up with Luke and finally got to know Luke. So some of this is speculation. And just as a note, so based on somewhere around 37, 38 AD, if John and Mary had gone up to Ephesus, well, during Paul's second journey, that would have been about 52 AD. So they could have met in that time frame, around 52 AD. I was just trying to put together maybe a little bit of some ideas of where, how Mary, who spent a good deal of time telling Luke, but also Luke was out investigating and trying to come in contact with all the different apostles to get eyewitness accounts. So he could have been, the reason that these folks got together is because Luke was actually looking for them. I mentioned that Luke may have met Paul in the Macedonia incident. I already talked about that. And because of this assignment that he probably could have, he might have gotten, as we're going to see here in a couple of verses, from somebody who is wealthy and may have been a Christian also, but had the means to send Luke out to gather this information. So there could have been a twofold reason why Luke was out as a Gentile, trying to learn about this Jesus. So in this next verse, in Luke 1:3, Luke makes mention to somebody that is kind of an interesting person from the standpoint that we don't know who he is, but based on how much respect Luke had for him and how he addresses him, we're pretty sure that he must have been a Roman some sort of Roman official. And the one thing about Luke as we go through Luke is you'll realize that Luke doesn't really ever talk down to Romans. He doesn't really spend a lot of time complaining about the Romans. And it kind of gives a hint that Luke may have been working for a Roman. And so he kind of downplayed that aspect of things. But you see this here, we'll read it here. It seems good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, A couple of things to point out here is to write unto thee in order. That's a good chronological term, meaning that what Luke is going to achieve is going to be trying to actually do a chronological listing of all the things that happen having to do with this sect, this Jesus Christ, and leading into the apostles and Acts. But you also notice there where it says most excellent. That was a very common term in the Roman hierarchy, that how you would address somebody in a Roman, like almost like at the level of a governor or maybe a senator or somebody who had some clout within the Roman government. And so when he says most excellent Theopius, could have been an indication that Luke worked for him and that he may have been his slave, because actually, believe it or not, most physicians during this time frame, it was a position typically of slavery, and you were bought and used by somebody with lots of money to be their personal physician. And so that was quite common then also. So that's what most people believe that this means. There's one other interpretation, is that this could be symbolic, because Theopius, the common translation for that name and what it means is lover of God. And there's some hint here, particularly in verse 4, that let me read verse 4 real quick. That thou mayest know the certainty of these things, those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So that it seems here that maybe Luke was sent out by Theopius to learn more about this Jesus, and that might be what he's actually doing. But being he's Roman, now we're pretty sure that Luke wasn't Roman, that he was a Greek. And possibly from Macedonian area. He definitely was not Jewish, he was a Gentile. But that he seemed to have a lot of free rein to do whatever he wanted to, because you don't see him in jail anywhere necessarily, but you see him with Paul all the time, and Paul was in jail a lot. So this Theopius may have given Luke the ability to kind of come and go as he pleases to get this information. And so that's what I had for today, and kind of a little background on Luke, and we'll start getting into the actual meat of Luke starting tomorrow. And I hope you have a great day, and we will talk again tomorrow. Oh, forgot to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, thank you so much, Lord, for this information, and that you made arrangements to have Luke write down these details for us in great detail, and that through your vision and your ability was able to make this information known to us. And we praise you and thank you so much for it. We love learning about you, Lord, and that we know that these are the stories of you, and we're looking forward to study them even deeper. You be with us and help us to understand it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. Now see you later.